Welcome to Once Upon a Slide, the podcast for presenters. My name is Russell, and today I'm talking to Adam Somley-Fisher and Peter Arve, two of the co-founders of the incredible presentation tool Prezi. We go into details about how the tool was born, where it started, and why it's grown so quickly to now 100 million users worldwide. Peter and Adam also give us some really useful insights as to where the tool is going next and why they believe it's so powerful for presenters of all businesses. You're definitely going to enjoy this chat, so please sit back and listen, and we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to Once Upon a Slide, the podcast for presenters. And it's my pleasure today. Adam is laughing at the title of our podcast show, which hopefully is a good thing. But it's my pleasure today to introduce you to the guy who is laughing at the moment, which is Adam Somley-Fisher, and also a co-founder of Prezi, Peter Arve. So thank you very much for being here with me this morning, guys.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good stuff. So we're going to keep this as short as we can, because I appreciate you guys are much, much busier than myself due to the success of Prezi. But what I thought would be useful before we get stuck into any questions is for each of you to maybe introduce yourself and just let the listeners know exactly what it is that you do at Prezi.
Yeah, my name is Adam Somley-Fisher from Hungary. I come from architecture and media art, and all my life I've been building tools for myself. That's ever since I was a kid. And this original hack of Prezi was a personal tool that I used alone for quite some time. And today I'm working on innovation, customer experience related visionary things like Prezi AR that you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Peter here?
I'm the CEO and co-founder, and for the last 20 years I've been working on figuring out how to combine storytelling with technology in a way that helps people to make better decisions. So I'm very interested in this experience that actually helps people to expand their minds, learn something, and then make a better decision. Because if you don't learn anything, then you just make the same decision as before.
Absolutely, yeah. If you do what you've always done, you get what you always get.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you very much for that. That's really useful to kind of divide up what each of you guys focus on there at Prezi. What I think would be really useful as well for the listeners is just to go way back when, you know, before Prezi was a huge success, and just hear your insights really as to, you know, when that light bulb moment was for you that you realized, I wonder what would happen if we presented without slides, but instead we used a canvas. So how did that come about? You know, was there like a light bulb moment, or was it a lot of exploration?
It's an interesting one. So there was a light bulb moment, but it came when we already had our company and had growth. The original inspiration was fairly intuitive. I just being quite good with computers, I had to present ideas, like architectural ideas and artistic ideas. And I realized that the most boring presentations I see is when people just go there and I did this, then I did this, and this is the next room, and this right, there's like no story about. And you know, I had like very diverse things to talk about, so it was a struggle, but I just put it on this digital canvas, I quickly together, move things around so I could find a thread, a story that connects them, and then I used this same tool, which was a primarily thinking tool, and then it became a very powerful delivery tool. Mm. To engage with the audiences. And because it was an interactive tool, I could really respond. Like if I saw people got bored, I just pulled up. Like, okay, you don't want to hear about this, let's go to the next topic.
Yeah.
So that worked really well. And then I met my amazing co-founder.
Yeah, that's how our third co-founder, who isn't here right now, Peter Halachi, actually saw Adam doing one of these presentations and thought, hey, I want to do one of those as well.
Yes. And you know, for a while it was still like, oh, it's a nice thing, let's try, you know, doing a startup, it sounds cool, let's try something. But it was, I think, you know, in our first year when we got this email from a Canadian 70-year-old firefighter who said that, like, guys, I'm so grateful. You made me feel creative again. Thank you so much for Prezi. And that was to me such a human, you know, such a touching moment that somebody created this stand and it could have a really meaningful impact on what he was in his life. Mm. That just made this thing like really, really serious. Like, wow, this is not just another project. This is something truly meaningful.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never heard you mention the firefighter who got in touch with you actually. So that's really nice to hear, because I must admit, when I train people how to use Prezi, that is something that I hear all the time. People normally start the training sessions by saying, oh, you'll have to bear with me, I'm not creative at all. And at the end of it, they feel like a creative genius, because Prezi just enables them to, you know, it just frees up their minds to think more about story. And like you said, Adam, being able to focus on detail and zoom back out. So yeah, I can really relate to that. Did you ever think that you would end up with 100 million Prezi users at that time? My guess is probably not.
I remember on our first year when we got together and we were maybe 10, 11 people at the time, and we did our first sort of goal setting. We said, by the end of the year, we will get to, and I said, 1 million users. And everyone went, okay, here goes Peter again. He's, you know, he has those goals and whatever. And we got to 1.2 million already that year.
Wow.
And I mean, even I thought saying 1 million was a very audacious thing at the time. So I think we pretty early started to realize that there's a much bigger need for more effective communication than what anyone would have guessed.
Yeah.
Now, you should know that the background of that story is that for a whole year, we had essentially spent our savings building the first version of Prezi, because we started in 2008 in the middle of the biggest economic crisis in modern times. And then we said, we're going to take on Apple, Microsoft, and Google. And then we said, from this unexpected place called Budapest. So by the time we had told all of those things to potential investors, nobody thought this would be possible. In fact, I think the most interesting thing about the journey with Prezi has been how people thought that, you know, presentations were done and they could absolutely not see why anyone wanted to take up the competition with these huge companies. But I think if anything we've shown together with the community of this 100 million people is that, yes, it's worthwhile going beyond the slide. And I think the biggest thing about that is actually just confirmed now in recent years, where Harvard researchers have shown that Prezis aren't just beautiful and, you know, make these nice zooming effects, but in effect, they're help people to be 25% more effective in their communications.
Mm. Yeah, the Harvard studies that have come out recently have been really interesting to see. I think that's, from my personal point of view, that's something I've been really waiting for, you know, from you guys or from, you know, studies, just to show the effectiveness of Prezi. Because I've known it for years, again, in the training sessions I do, and even in the early days when I started presenting myself with Prezi and switching from another tool to, you know, to Prezi, I noticed the increase in engagement. I noticed that when I spoke to people a few weeks after my presentation, they remembered more. And I noticed that when I sat in the audience of a Prezi, of someone delivering a Prezi, I remembered more as well. So it's really interesting that those studies have now come out. You know, it's proven Prezi does work as a more effective tool, which is great.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky topic because most people don't, you know, can't easily associate to this concept of what is effective communication. But the reality is, if you look out there how business is done, a lot of time and effort and money is really spent on building the possibility to have that one meeting or that one keynote. Mm. If you think about all the money that's spent on, say, social media, and then you have sales management systems like Salesforce, and then you even have automation nowadays, marketing automation programs all of this time and effort to get to that one meeting, because there's almost no meaningful business that's closed without a meeting where somebody tells a story. But then you end up in that meeting, and that's when it really counts. And so often we see that actually people invest all along that journey, and the final part of the journey is just not taken care of. And that's where we see our customers really being very successful. They know that that moment counts, and they can stand out and be just very effective with pricing.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And again, that's been a huge observation of mine over the last few years. And it still blows my mind today how we might speak to people who are presenting as part of a sales pitch or tender for new business that will be worth a lot of money to their organization. And the presentation is the part that just gets left behind or left to the last minute. And I've got a theory on that. I think that, and you tell me if you agree or not, but I think that some of that is attributed to fear of public speaking. I think that a lot of people do put off the presentations because they don't want to be the one to create it and then have to deliver it at such a key moment. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, people keep postponing working on them because it's, the stress, inherently there, even if they aspire to be better, they know they should be, they know should, like this inherent fear just pushes it to the risky last minute, and then it becomes bad. And then, the fear is bad.
There was some survey done in the US of the top 10 things you fear the most in your life. And I think a number 7 was something like getting eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
So death was a number 7. Number 1 was public speaking. So yeah. Sometimes we even have irrational fears around this. But I think you're right. That's part of it. Mm. The other part of it might be that people just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, for example, there's this myth around Steve Jobs being an amazing communicator, which is true. But also people tend to assume that that amazing communication skill sort of just inherently he was born with it or something. But if you actually look at how Steve Jobs was preparing for all of those communication events, a lot of times, many days in advance, going through multiple versions of how to tell a specific story, then you realize that actually good preparation can be a very powerful thing, because to a large extent, Steve Jobs obviously used his communication skills to guide both his companies and to find success. It's a very underestimated way of having impact, just communicating well.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I really love about Prezi, and I think this has come to the forefront even more in the last, couple of years with the launch of Prezi Next, is that I think that Prezi does actually help with that fear, because you're able to create what we now call conversational presentations. And that means that presenters don't have to follow a strict script, like Steve Jobs would, being stood up on stage. But you're much freer now to just have a really meaningful conversation with the business that you're pitching to, whoever it may be. And in my experience, and certainly the people that we've trained over the years, that removes a lot of pressure from them as a presenter, because they just feel like they're having a conversation, and they focus on the key points, they drill down into the objections that those businesses might have when they're trying to sell. So, I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but I think that using Prezi does actually help kind of remove some of the fear, because you're not stood up behind a podium and all eyes are on you. It can become much more about the audience as well. So that's been really interesting.
Yeah, I can highly relate to that. I mean, the archetypical version was also without this path tool, so it was all about attracting. And if you actually just close your eyes and imagine that to be as successful in a meeting when you present the slide deck, you have to imagine yesterday, the order of ideas, how it will resonate with your audience today. And if you lose them, there's nothing you can do in your last call, just press next, and you just lose them more and more. So that's one thing, you know, this just feels so unnatural. Like any real conversation, if I see you're not nodding and you get bored, I change topic.
Yeah.
Unless I'm an evil person. So, and there's another value I love that I think, you know, times are changing. We are much more, we enjoy to interact and we enjoy really fast, quick communication. The you know, the average cut length in movies today is less than a second, actually. So it's, you know, it's pretty, and you know, if you come to a meeting with a 20 minute long monologue, it doesn't work anymore. And I think that's another beautiful conversation that you can really just lie, find that path that just works in that meeting. That's like 3 minutes, all the material you brought, and it will be really focused and people will truly appreciate that your message is spot on and it's efficient and it's short.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely the case. It's been for those listening who maybe haven't used Prezi Next, I would definitely recommend that, you know, they jump onto the Prezi website and explore not just the Prezi software itself, but think about, as you're doing that, think about how this can change the way in which you present. I think that, to me anyway, is where the real power of Prezi lies. It's in, you know, how the story can be communicated and how people can engage with it and explore it on their own as well. So, okay, brilliant. Let's move on a little bit then. I was hoping, I mean, I know the answer to this question from my own experience already, but I'd be really keen to get your insights as to what impact you think or you hope Prezi is actually having out there in the business
world. When we got started with Prezi, the first place it took off was actually on the TED stage. And you may know that TED even became investors in Prezi. And then the next large group to start adopting Prezi was actually students and teachers. I think this was partly because they were free from not having a past experience with slides, essentially.
Yeah.
And now as these people are graduating and bringing Prezi into businesses, we're seeing that actually it's primarily sales and marketing or the first ones to adopt Prezi in any business. And that's no wonder, because their work, essentially work success, depends on just being great communicators. Another part of businesses where we see early wins in companies is actually HR. So people have a lot of trainings they have to do. Again, efficiency and communication really matters. But then the reality is that with 100 million users, nowadays we not only have users in almost every larger company in the world, but also in every function. So we have small islands here and there. It usually starts with a big event, but then starts to grow within teams. And so I don't think that getting rid of slides, unfortunately, in PowerPoint will happen overnight. But I do think that people are recognizing that the alternative to slides can become more effective. And that's why we're becoming a real alternative, despite not having the sort of amazing distribution power that these other large companies have. I mean, they are really the world's largest companies. And despite of that, we can compete because people recognize that there is something that can be done better with the help of Prezi.
Yeah, fantastic. Good stuff. And when, I don't know about you guys, but you probably don't find this at all, I would imagine. But over here in the UK, Prezi does have a big market here. Lots of people know about it. But every now and then, I do come across someone who says, Prezi, what is Prezi? And so I have to explain it, which is great for me because, you know, I love introducing people to Prezi and kind of the benefits it can bring. How do you explain, kind of in a nutshell, what Prezi is? If you had to write it on a post-it note, what would you say Prezi is?
Prezi is the thing that helps you to connect your ideas in meaningful ways. You know that time when somebody asks you a question and you exit your presentation and you start scrolling for slides?
Yeah.
That should never happen. So Prezi will help you to always be on top of your own ideas and to convey it in a meaningful way to others.
Okay.
My very intrinsic vision of this is, and when I'm trying, Prezi helps me to take my audiences on a journey with me. Together we're traveling in our ideas. It's a very cinematic, very visual thing, mm-hmm. but it's in our ideas. And I don't know, it's like this magical moment that these things get connected and then we can discuss these ideas.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. That's really interesting to hear. You know, your kind of version of that, because I've been explaining it to people for years. Yeah, my explanation of Prezi is that Prezi enables you to present in a very different way. And what I mean by in a different way is in a way that, yes, does take your audience on a journey with you, but it enables them to become the driving force behind the presentation. So I sometimes refer to Prezi as, you know, you're getting all of your audience members and you're putting them in the back of your car. And every now and then you're letting one of them get in the driving seat and they can decide where you go. So that's how I loosely, that's how I explain Prezi.
It's worthwhile thinking a little bit about why that is and how is it that Prezi can help you to be 25% more effective. Now, the Harvard research, what they did in that research is they compared people who were using no visual aids at all to people who were using slides and then people who were using Prezi. And what they found was quite astounding. And by the way, the first part of this research, we already knew. So, what they found was that people who are using slides are actually no much better off using slides than having no visual aids at all. In fact, we know that there are certain type of slides, unfortunately the most common type of slides, that actually makes you understand and retain information less than if you had shown nothing at all. And so that's really problematic, right? I can give you a thought experiment to help you understand how this works.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I were to ask to give me your five favorite kitchen appliances, then what would you say?
I would say my smoothie blender, my toaster, my sandwich making machine, microwave, and of course my kettle, because I love coffee.
Yeah, and because I have video here, I could see that while you were naming those things, you were sort of scrolling with your eyes from side to side, because I think what you did was you looked around essentially in your kitchen in order to remember these things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it turns out that most people, in fact all people, do exactly what you do. And the reason why you do that is because you actually use two types of information to recall these five things. One is what they look like, right? So you could probably see a metallic toaster or, you know, whatever comes to your mind. But then also the reason why you were scrolling with your eyes is because you were looking around to see what's next to it. And because Prezi happens to be a space metaphor instead of a paginated. What I mean is there are, slides are like pages, but in Prezi, you're actually putting all your ideas in some sort of order next to each other. The zooming of Prezi is interesting, not just because of it can create this nice effect of going to one thing to another, but actually zooming is now connecting your ideas in the same way that you can think of your kitchen and imagine it arranged spatially. You can think about your Prezis and imagine how your ideas connect with each other. And that becomes very powerful, not just when you're creating your presentation, but also for audiences to understand what it is that you're talking about. And we believe that this is one of the major reasons why Prezi is so effective. Now, if you compare that to a bunch of slides with bullet points, we have two reasons why we believe that that's not effective. First of all, if you notice, what you didn't do is you didn't write down lists of words, right?
Yeah.
And so, but what happens when you open up PowerPoint and you're what does the slide ask you to do? Write lists of bullet points and text. And in fact, we know now today that if you show a slide like that, then people will understand less, because essentially it's so hard to follow along a presentation and read text at the same time that you can't do both. So what you do is you jump back and forth and you sort of miss half of each. It's very similar to you listening to the radio and trying to read a text at the same time, impossible. And the other part that we think may be contributing to the less effectiveness of slides is the fact that any good storyteller knows that it's not about the number of ideas that you have, but much more about how you connect them.
Mm.
And a lot of time, actually, a fewer number of ideas is better than many. But it's a little bit misleading when you have the slide situation. So you maybe fill out 10 slides and you have all your bullet points and it seems like you have a great story. But that's actually the part where you need to start working on your story. How are you going to connect these slides? It's possible in the PowerPoint situation. However, it is not as intuitive than when you're forced to sort of get all your ideas in one place and really see how they connect.
Yeah, yeah. That's an amazing explanation as to, you know, how Prezi can help. So it's almost like, I guess, if you were comparing PowerPoint to Prezi in that sense with the kitchen analogy, the PowerPoint version would be you close your eyes, you walk into your kitchen, and all of a sudden you open them and you're in front of your kettle. And then you close your eyes again and you spin around and then you're in front of your toaster. Whereas with Prezi, you can physically see the connections. Your eyes are open the whole time. And because of that, you're then much more spatially aware as how everything links and connects and where everything is. Now, that's a fantastic explanation. I may have to borrow that.
Yeah, please.
Good stuff. I want to move on a little bit because, again, you know, you guys are extremely busy, so I want to try and make sure we get as many insights as we can out of you. One of the things that has really struck me over the years from visiting your head office in Budapest, which, by the way, people still cannot believe that, you know, Prezi is, you know, was born from Budapest. A lot of people I speak to about Prezi think that it was created by some 10-year-old boy in America who had drunk 20 cans of Red Bull one evening and just started coding away. So it's really, I think your company story is so, so nice. And I've visited your head office there over the last few years, and I'm always really struck by the kind of company ethos and the vibe that you get from everyone that works there. And, you know, Adam, I visited you way back, and I think it was probably 2010 or 11. And I came again last year, and it felt the same. So how important is it for you guys to keep that same kind of ethos and vibe? So I know we're moving away from the Prezi software itself here, but how important is that to you as you continue to grow? And how do you actually keep that vibe going instead of becoming, you know, just another big corporate monster?
Well, I think that first of all, I think it's good if you grow and you change, right? Mm. So I don't think you want to avoid change, because if you do, then you actually start to stifle things, and no culture, I think, stays the same, really. Mm. So you need to develop and evolve. And you also, of course, need to keep some of the good stuff. I mean, we spoke about Steve Jobs and Apple. In a huge corporation, still really creative, I would say. And so I think that you have to decide what is the things about the culture that you really want to prioritize and make it central. I think for us, creativity is definitely one of those things, and we work on various ways of expressing these values in our company, whether it be through side projects. You know, we're very involved in society in Hungary. We've started two NGOs, but we work with probably 7 or 8 of them, right? Other NGOs right now, where our employees are participating in various activities. And then also, obviously, figuring out that when you grow beyond Budapest and Hungary, we have a big office in San Francisco, we acquired a company out of Riga. How do you start connecting people across these national boundaries is also really important. I do think that even in the case of us acquiring, for example, this Latvian company, culture and people was the first aspect of how we thought about making this acquisition.
So we have company values like most companies do, right? But they are not commissioned by an agency, you know, what they should have, but they are always written and evolved by us. And of course, started, you know, from the founder's culture, but as we grew internationally as well and culturally, what we do that like every two-ish years, we create a group of people that represent the whole company. So juniors, different departments, different nationalities that work together, looking at our values, are we actually living them? Are these the ones we should aspire to live by? And then updating them. And once we update them, then we talk about them, right? So it's like it's us as a culture specifically spell out who we are and who we want to be and work towards that and keep it evolving. It's a very beautiful process.
Yeah. And it's a hard one, I would say, because like, you know, a lot of times the question is, why do we need to change? You know, the old ones are good. So that could be one conversation. The other conversation might be that, but we don't know where this will lead. So, the reality is that the most fundamental expression of these values often happens associated around the actually at these conversations.
Yeah.
So how do you keep the conversation alive, going back to conversational presenting? That is really the key if you want to sustain, I think, any type of aspirational values.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah, that's really, really useful to hear, actually, because it's definitely been something that's always really impressed me when I've come and visited the head office. And it definitely shows, like, you know, through everything that you guys do in terms of social media posts and even seeing you two guys up on stage speaking, you know that you're from Prezi, if that makes sense. You know, there's a real kind of character and ethos that comes through there. Okay, so let's just bring it back to the Prezi software itself, because there's one thing that I'm absolutely super excited about, which is Prezi AR. And I cannot wait to get my hands on the fully kind of finished version of that. So for those who are listening, who maybe don't know what I'm talking about, Prezi AR is Prezi Augmented Reality, which essentially puts you inside your presentation so that you can have your content there with you on the screen at the same time. It's something that we've been playing with a bit here at the presenter. I don't know if you guys saw, but we created a dinosaur version for my little boy, who he absolutely loved. He still asks me to play it on a weekly basis so that he can sit down and go through it. Ooh. So I'm just really keen to find out from you guys. I'm not going to ask you any tough questions about when we'll actually get that, but I really want to find out from you how you think that will change business communication. You know, do you have like a grand plan as to where that sits in the presentation landscape?
Yeah, so I think if we zoom out, no pun intended, if we zoom out for a second, I think when we got started with Prezi, the reason why we got excited by itself is because we felt that Prezi was more immersive than the alternatives out there. And that immersive experience comes to a large extent thanks to, you know, Adam's architectural background. Really, what does architects do? They create spaces that are by nature immersive, but increasingly these spaces are created virtually, and we're spending more and more of our time in these virtual spaces. And so it's been sort of in our DNA from the get-go on finding new and innovative ways of creating more and more immersive experiences. So for us, AR is really just one more step along that way, and that has created the world's only AR presentations. But the idea is very simple. How do you get the idea closer and closer to the presenter and to the audience? And if we do get them closer, we believe that that again helps people to understand more effectively what we're trying to communicate. And this, I think, is the reason why it's exciting.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So to build on this, I think, for example, if you watch TED Talks, 80% of the time we see the faces. They have beautiful visuals, right? You know, on big TED stage, they work once and it's super professional. But the truth is, every story told, it becomes authentic, you know, based on who says it. Because, you know, you connect to that person, you connect to the stories the person says, right? And somehow it's, you know, on a big stage, Prezi works really well because you're guiding that journey. You're standing in the center on the stage and there's a big projection behind you. You're actually part of that journey for the audience's perspective. But in smaller room meetings or in remote meetings that happen a lot nowadays, this is just, you know, gets lost. So somehow finding a way to put the human experience in the center of any presentation, of a conversation, right? I need to see you nodding, you need to see me getting interested. And this link happens between our selves, our faces, right? Our body language. And then, you know, the visuals, the ideas, it's still better if they are there visually because sometimes they're abstract. You know, you need to see them to remember them. You need to see them to connect them. So creating this is something that is quite exciting.
I mean, that's a great explanation from both of you there. I think for me, I can definitely see the massive potential of Prezi AR. And I think, you know, whilst the listeners can't see this right now, but we're talking to each other through GoToMeeting and we've got webcams on and we can see each other. And you guys have probably noticed that when I talk, my hands come into play a lot and I'm visualizing a lot, you know. And so from what you just said, Adam, that's the stuff that people can't see, you know, the kind of gestures I'm making with my hands are what I could then use in Prezi AR to connect information together for the audience as well, to kind of see what I'm seeing much, much more. Fantastic. Well, I'm super excited about that. So I'm not going to take up too much more of your time because I'd rather you go off and get that finished so that we can all use it, please. That would be fantastic. I have one final question for each of you, and it's not really a Prezi question. It's to do with, you know, presentations in general. That would be, what advice would you give to businesses that need to improve the way they present? And you can answer, go and get a Prezi license.
I think if you get into the habit of making a really well-prepared presentation, there is one trick that I think is helps you to become more effective in that process. And it's to focus on the end goal in mind. Mm-hmm. And so the end goal in mind is, you could call it a takeaway message. What is it that you want people to remember after you're done? And actually figuring that out is a little bit of a work in itself. You might think a little bit about the audience, about the situation you're in, what can you reasonably achieve in that communication opportunity that you have, whether it's a meeting or it is a large stage presentation. But if you manage to really distill that into a sentence summary of, this is the takeaway message that I want people to know, then after that, it actually becomes quite clear what are some of the main arguments that you need to tell to people. And it even becomes a way of filtering when you don't need certain stuff or you can shrink things. So Pixar calls this, by the way, a controlling idea. Now, they take years to build a movie, but the way they do it is actually by agreeing on this one sentence about what is the takeaway message for the movie. And it's actually the same method works on a small scale really well for great presentations. So identify with one sentence what it is that you want people to take away by the time you're done, and then it helps you to develop the structure for the presentation.
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm delighted that you've used that as your example, actually, Peter, because in our trainings that we deliver, we call that the core message. And, you know, if you think of it as the core of a planet, you know, everything else that goes into your presentation should be centered around that core. And if it doesn't help you meet that objective and it doesn't work towards that core message, then it really shouldn't be there in the presentation at all. So that's awesome. Thank you very much for that. So Adam, what's your take? What should businesses do to improve presentation?
Visual. And I know this is said a lot, like visual, blah, blah, visual, blah, blah. But I can prove you why this matters. The presentation is primarily an audiovisual experience. There's a human talking, right?
Yeah.
You know, we actually watch each other, listen to each other. And we augment this, you know, even without AR, just a projection. We augment this with digital information. But the truth is, we can watch all at the same time. You know, we watch movies, we watch The World Around Us. We're good at that. We can listen at the same time. If you're talking, I don't have a problem listening with you. But we can't read at the same time. It just doesn't work. People read in different, you know, speeds. They have their own. It's just reading is a very, you know, solitudinal medium. You want to do it alone, on your own pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are forcing that into this social space where different people have different expectations. And the presenter, they just can't shut up. Like, there's lots of text, but I'm trying to talk to it with different words. It's a horrible thing. So that medium text is not meant to be in this space where we're a group of people and we're exchanging ideas. And visuals, they work fantastically because at a glance, I get the main ideas, right? You know, some keywords, some visuals, and then I can engage and discuss. So get more visual and present your answer there.
Yeah, fantastic. Those are two amazing takeaways, I think, for anyone listening to this is focus on your message, start from there, and be more visual. I think if everyone tries to put those two key things in place, which, by the way, are very, very easy to do using something like Prezi, you know, there is really no excuse, I don't think, for having tons and tons of bullet points in any presentation these days. And if we focus everything around that core message, we should all be much better presenters. So fantastic. Well, that is a great place, I think, to finish up. So I just want to thank you guys again for being here with us. You are the very first people that we've interviewed on this new podcast, which I was really hoping you would agree to because, you know, you guys, in my eyes, are really responsible for disrupting the presentation space when it absolutely needed disrupting. So I want to personally thank you for that because I discovered Prezi when I was presenting a long, long time ago and it absolutely changed the game for me. And now I'm able to help other people raise the level of their own presentations with it as well. So thank you for being here. I hope you'll join us again on the show, maybe in a year's time or so. And thanks again. Is there anything you want to add to listeners before we wrap up?
You had great questions. We had fun talking. Russell, you're amazing.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, guys, and all the best. Hi, it's Russell again. So I really hope you enjoyed that chat with Peter and Adam. Absolutely fantastic, the stuff that these guys have been able to do in the last few years. And it feels to me like they're really only scratching the surface. So I'm really excited to get them back in a year's time. What I would ask from you is if you really enjoyed the show, please hit the subscribe button, whether you're listening to this on iTunes or on Android or any of the many, many podcasting apps that are out there. You can find Once Upon a Slide on most of those apps. Please hit the subscribe button. Please give us a thumbs up or a rating if you've got that option on your podcast app. And please drop in a review. It only needs to take a few seconds or so, but we would really, really appreciate your support with the show. So we hope you enjoyed it and we'll see you on the next episode.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.